It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Good morning. I love the show. You guys pump me up every morning on the way to work.
Listen to ourselves.
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We want to pop. You are.
Go Bills! Let's go!
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
I love Buffalo! Go Bills!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, Football Friday. Bills and Texans on the way. It's also Sabres game day. They open the season in 4 hours from Prague. Jeremy and Joe on this Football Friday, and that's Football Friday brought to you by Cellino Law. Call Cellino, car crash, call Cellino by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game to the Crosby's way. On the Western Hotline is Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans. Mark, thanks for taking some time ahead of a pretty big game pretty early in the season.
Yeah, this is a big one, right? You got two AFC, dare I say, powers when I mention the Texans in that sentence. Certainly the Bills are there, and the Texans want to be considered that, and this would go a long way toward getting them there. But, you know, it's still early, but it's a big one.
How are the expectations with Houston? Like, last year was a bit of a, you know, you find the quarterback, he's the man. You've got receivers that are growing into stars in the league, and expectations get ramped up when you play a first-place schedule. They're 3-1, and I think from the outside, it looks like they're good, but maybe not exactly hitting on all cylinders at this point.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. And I think that's okay this time of year. You'd rather learn while winning, and that's kind of what they're doing here. As you said in the report, you know, they are missing Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce. I think that's a big deal. You know, they've been operating without those guys for the most part in these first four games. Mixon was great in week one, had 159 yards against the Colts. That looked good. But running the ball has been difficult. And I think as far as expectations go, the offseason, they were sky high, and they're still high. But these games get evaluated by the media and fans like, well, you won last week, but it really wasn't really like we're not winning pretty enough. Huh? Are you new here? Do you remember 2021, 2022? This is a really young team, I want to say. Now, it's older in spots, but it's young in some really key spots, and they need to learn how to win. And how to win against these kinds of teams in all sorts of situations. Last year, every game was a noon start Central Time. This year, you have these primetime games. Your routine is disrupted. You have to do what the good teams do and learn to be the hunted, like the Bills are used to by now, but the Texans have to adjust to it.
They've played some close games. They did have that one blip against Minnesota. Then again, Minnesota's done that to a lot of teams so far. C.J. Stroud in year two. You know, it's very much always a question for young quarterbacks. What do you do as a follow-up when you have a breakout rookie campaign? How has Stroud looked to you individually?
He's better. There's no question in my mind he's better. Forget about the numbers, although they're good. But it's the way he processes, the way he moves around the pocket, trying to find that extra piece of real estate to launch the football or scrambles out and extends the play. And selective running plays as well. He's really good at that this year. He wasn't using much of that last year, only occasionally. Now, okay, let me go run 11-yard slide. We'll reload first and 10. He's doing those kinds of things. And I just think he's a year older, a year more mature. He knows what the expectations are. He's super smart. And I think obviously that helps when you're smart, athletic, and you're willing to do the work. You know, I just love the way he approaches life and football. And I think he's going to be really good for a long time.
So let's get to the revenge game element of this week for Stephon Diggs and the way he's being used so far for Houston. And it looks like it's more shorter stuff than it's been in the past, but he's certainly still making a huge impact, and the numbers are coming through for him.
Yeah, he's making a big impact. I mean, they have Nico Collins, who's emerging as one of the best wideouts in the league, and, you know, I want to see that continue. I mean, Nico's just a freak. He's tall, he's strong, he's got a lot of yak. I mean, he's really aggressive, wonderful to see, great hands. Diggs fits right into this, and when they acquired Diggs, I felt like this would be the case. You know, I thought that Nico would probably be the number one guy, and Diggs might have more catches at the end of the day, but less yards. So we'll see how that figures in. Diggs hasn't had a breakout game yet. He had a lot of catches at Minnesota, but Diggs has been really good. I mean, he's been wonderful for this team. And I know what the national narrative is, and I've heard, I know what Buffalo was all about, Minnesota, those exits. Look, Diggs is one of the guys here. He's one of the boys, and it's working out really well so far. It feels like he knows his role, and his role is, you know, catch whatever I can, whatever I need to, whatever is needed from me. And in the locker room, he's a leader. And you can just see it on the practice field, training camp, saw it all throughout the offseason. It's great to have him around. I think this is a really good match, Diggs and the Texans right now.
Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans, joining us on the Wester Hotline. How about Tank Dell's return to the lineup? How big is that in terms of the Texans with and without Dell? Because last year, he ends up going down and missing the end of the season, but he looks like a heck of a player for what he's given us so far.
Yeah, he's great, and then there was a tremendous catch he had in Minnesota that was called back due to a penalty, and penalty's been it's just been a big issue for this team. The yellow flag thrown has been monstrous. They have three consecutive games with double figures penalties, and I bring that up because you had a couple of big Dell plays wiped out. But Dell missed last week, should be back, and what he does is scare the jeebers out of the defensive backfield, man. You have to always account for him. You know, he'll be running free. He's a tremendous route runner, and it's just going to open things up for everybody else if you don't throw the ball to him. So to have those three available, even though you don't have your top two backs, is going to be a really big boost for this team, because I think this team is kind of a pass to set up the run sort of team with Cam Akers and Dari Ogunbowale running the ball, J.J. Taylor. That's how they're going to operate, so Dell's a big part of it.
How about the Houston defense? I know there's a couple of premier pass rushers there, some good cover corners. Has the pass defense, does it have what it takes to stop this Bills attack?
Yeah, they got to get pressure on Allen, and they didn't get enough pressure on Trevor Lawrence last week. Couldn't get him to the ground. They only had one sack, and it was a DB blitz by Eric Murray. So they got in the backfield against Sam Darnold the week before, but they had four sacks, but it just didn't feel like it. It just didn't feel like they were getting the pressure on Darnold that they needed to. So that's something to watch this week. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, I mean, they're off to a decent start here. The defensive tackles, they find a way to get at Allen. And, you know, we all know what he can do when, you know, he gets out of the backfield, but you got to find a way to get him on the ground, and you better bring some friends. So I think that's a big part of this game. The secondary for the Texans, look, the two corners are good. Lassiter is a rookie. He's going to have some rookie moments, but he makes plays. Derek Stingley Jr. is phenomenal. I mean, he's just fun to watch play corner. You don't say that about too many corners. So I love watching him play. Jimmy Ward should be back this week. That's big for them because leadership tends to make the big play at the right time. And Azeez Al-Shaair, this middle linebacker, I don't know if he's going to make the Pro Bowl, but what he means to any team he's on, leadership, lining people up, quarterback of the defense, you absolutely have to have guys like that. He's kind of a clone of D'Amico Ryans on the field, so that's good to have.
Mark, why is our man Sal Capaccio telling me to bring up ice cream here locally with you?
Well, Sal, you know, it's funny because we were there in Buffalo in 21, and that was not a good day for the Texans. But The night before, we went out to a restaurant with Sal, and I forget what the place was. It was nice, but they ran out of wings. Who runs out of wings in Buffalo? I mean, what made that great night special, extra special, was we ran into Eric Moulds and friends at that restaurant. Moulds spent some time with the Texans, as you might recall.
That's right.
So I loved seeing Eric Moulds, and I loved it when he was here for that short time. And Sal afterwards took us out to an ice cream joint. I mean, we demanded ice cream after no wings. So he came through, so we'll always be appreciative of that. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, that ice cream stop, by the way, now has, I think, wing-flavored ice cream.
Interesting.
I don't know if you would try that. You get a little both best of both worlds, or maybe the worst of both worlds. I don't know how to phrase it.
I'm not putting salt in things that don't need salt or shouldn't have salt. Bacon and ice cream. I'm not that guy.
Okay.
But I support. It's a free country, and I support people's work.
Very good. Thanks, Mark. Enjoy the game.
All right, thanks, guys.
Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans. He'll have the call. Mark's called every single snap in Texans history. He's been their play-by-play man since the start.
All right. Yeah, that game he mentioned was, from his end of things, a Texans end of things, got to be one of the worst games in like franchise history. You lose 40-0 in the Didn't you talk about this game earlier in the week? It was like the wettest game ever.
Yeah, at least he was inside. At least he had a roof. Yeah, I mean, it rained nonstop.
If you were a Texans fan, though, there would have been a few, I'm sure. 70,000 seat stadium. Hey, let's go see what the Buffalo tailgate scene is all about.
It was terrible.
Let's road trip. Where should we do a road trip this year? Oh, early season Buffalo game. Let's do that. We can avoid the snow.
Worse.
And then you get there and your team loses 40-0 and you are just soaked by the end of it.
All right, let's do the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. When we get started here, I will give you an incredible stat connected to last night's game.
Football!
Super, super, great, great American Football Friday Frenzy.
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
Tomlin. Don't blink. It's a Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Okay, so here's a stat for you, Joe. There are 6 quarterbacks active that have thrown for 500 yards in a game.
Ooh. Okay.
You want to try and guess them, you can.
So, Mahomes.
No.
Allen.
No.
Stroud.
No.
How many guesses am I going to get before I get to a guy? Joe Flacco.
No.
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Come on. Not even. He's played 20 years.
Nope.
500 yards.
6 active quarterbacks have thrown for 500 yards.
0 for 7.
Yep.
Burrow.
Yes.
Okay.
525.
Okay. Jameis Winston.
No.
Really? Deshaun Watson.
No.
Oh, my gosh. I've got one answer. Now I need to get this. Trevor Lawrence.
No.
Justin Herbert.
No.
Come on. Carson Wentz.
No.
Jared Goff.
Yes.
Was it that Chief game that was like 100 points?
517. It was not the Chief game.
Okay. Andy Dalton.
No.
Derek Carr.
Yes.
Okay. Kyler Murray.
No.
Matt Stafford.
Yes. One more. Because Kirk Cousins is one of the 6.
Okay. Is there a backup hanging around somewhere?
Nope. He's a good quarterback.
He's a starter. He's a good quarterback. Geno Smith?
No.
File him under good quarterbacks now, by the way. Did I say Kyler Murray? Baker Mayfield?
You did, and they're both wrong.
Derek Carr?
No, you said that.
I said that. Jordan Love?
No.
Darnold?
No.
Prescott?
Yes.
That took forever to get to Prescott.
So anyway, that's just the trivia version of it. Here's the stat.
Okay.
Of the 6 active quarterbacks to throw for 500 yards in a game, 3 of them did it against the Bucs.
Wow. That's funny.
Kirk Cousins in 2024, Jared Goff in 2019, Derek Carr in 2016. Tampa appears 3 times on the 500 yards passing against list.
Wow. Tampa's used to this. It took overtime for Cousins. He got a 45-yard touchdown in overtime. He got the 509. Not to say he wasn't incredible. I can't stop watching the touchdown he threw to Darnell Mooney in the first half. 3rd and 14 into triple coverage.
Yeah.
And it's like the perfect spot. And Mooney goes up and catches it. And it's an incredible play. Incredible throw. Also, if you watch that play on the Next Gen StatsCast, it was even more impressive because you saw it coming. You saw the throw, the laser through the air. If you're watching it on that, you see Mooney. You're like, he's not throwing it there. And then the ball just is in the perfect spot. It was amazing.
I can't believe that the Next Gen StatsCast isn't the way we watch all games. It is a
Prime Vision,
yes,
it's also called.
Yeah. It is a superior, and it's not even for the stats, right? It's the Prime Vision that's better. Because especially, you know, the innovation that Red Zone was. If you were watching like I was for fantasy purposes last night, or, you know, if you bet on a game, you got an anytime touchdown. When they line up and they put the name of the player over where they are and they motion like, oh, Mooney's on the top. Here's London. There's Pitts.
Yeah.
It's Algier in the backfield.
Yeah.
That helps. The ability to identify the blitzing players is incredible.
Yeah.
The AI so often, more than not, I mean, like 95%, gets the guys that are blitzing and doesn't buy the ones that are bluffing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's insane.
To zoom out far enough that it's not so far out for all 22, but it's out far enough to see the routes be traced. You can, after the play, you really get a sense of the spacing. It is a superior broadcast.
It's incredible. I I'm actually at a point now, this might be my favorite one. For watching an individual game, this is my favorite way to watch a game.
Me too.
I'm at a point now, the only time I am ever watching a traditional broadcast...
Bills game?
A Bills game or Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And it might even just because Sunday Night Football is like the only one now that doesn't offer me anything else.
That's right.
Monday night I get the Manning cast for most weeks, I guess. But yeah, Prime Vision, if you haven't experienced it and you have Amazon, like give it a shot. It is so cool to watch.
Also, I have a new take on Amazon. The weak link of their broadcast is Herb Street.
Not Michaels?
It's not Michaels, it's Herb Street now. And it might not even be his fault. He's done so many of the college football video games. Herb Street sounds like an AI version of Herb Street. It's so robotic. It's so businesslike. There's no flavor to any game.
Yeah.
It's so matter of fact. He is a flat line zero in these games.
Mm-hmm.
And the things he says are so cliched. Like, oh, here's Bucky Irving. I'll tell you one thing I see about Bucky Irving. This guy plays with a chip on his shoulder. That's what an AI version would say of every game.
Yeah. So, I didn't think it would come out as much when they hired him that, oh, this is a college football guy.
He doesn't follow the league. It's clear.
It sounds like he doesn't follow the league.
It's very clear he does not follow the league as closely as somebody else does.
Right. And he doesn't have the background knowledge of playing in the league more recently than, like, Brady.
Yeah.
Or Greg Olsen, guys that have just retired in the last couple of years.
I think he's a good broadcaster. I respect his opinions.
Yeah, I love him on college football.
I feel like it is not the right fit, and it jumps out. Because so much of the Amazon, the Prime Video, all that, the broadcast is great. The panel is better.
It is the play by play guys too. Like you do hear Michaels on it.
Yes,
that's another. Like again, I do wish their booth was a little better, but I do like that I have the booth as a part of that broadcast. Still feels like I'm watching the actual broadcast, just an upgraded version of it.
Yesterday they had Matt Ryan on the panel. He's there with Tony Gonzalez and Fitz and Richard Sherman. So anyway. All right, let's get to the games. 506sports.com will tell you the games we're watching. Of course, Bills Texans. Baltimore Cincinnati. Must win for Cincinnati?
Feels like that's a game Cincinnati wins.
Is it a must
win?
Isn't
it? They don't look right. Here you go against the Bengals. Everyone's going to be betting Baltimore, and then Cincinnati just shows up and beats Cincinnati.
Well, here's what happens. If they do win Cincinnati's next four games, Giants, Browns, Eagles, Raiders.
It could be a nice little run.
The Bengals could come back in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they could.
Indianapolis and Jacksonville. Must win for Jacksonville.
I haven't been tracking that. Is that going to be Flacco this week or Richardson?
I don't know the latest on that. If it's Flacco, well, I'll put it this way. In one fantasy decision, I had to sit Malik Nabers because it's not likely he's going to play. And off the bench comes Josh Downs. And if it's Flacco, I feel great about it.
Yeah. I agree. That's a very different game, depending on who. How about Flacco, by the way, just turning into this Mr. Reliable at the end of his career if he's going to go into games?
Are the Colts and everybody eats team also? Like they've got a bunch of different. Alec Pierce.
Yep.
Michael Pittman.
Downs is good.
That's an offense.
Richardson was limited, so it sounds like he's going to play.
Okay. That's an offense that, in my opinion, like one of the reasons that Flacco can step in and do well is A, they have a good play caller, offensive mind, and B, they have weapons that you jump in that team, any quarterbacks, and you're like, oh, these guys are all good.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, next game to preview. Fox early games. Cleveland, Washington. How about this?
Ooh,
here's a stat for you.
Cleveland, Washington.
For the first time, my fantasy sports app has suggested I start Jaden Daniels over Josh Allen.
Wow, even that's not an easy matchup.
That's
for
right.
Him.
It is not.
He, I saw, is under pressure a lot.
Daniels.
And it doesn't matter.
Ball
He's
comes
just
out.
So good.
Ball comes
him.
Out.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Washington, Carolina, Chicago.
Chicago, you better win that game. Or
I don't know if they're going to win that game. Carolina is totally respectable with Dalton. Miami, New England. Woof.
Oh, what's the over? I meant to look.
The over under in that game, let me guess it.
Go ahead.
34.5.
34.5?
It used to be you'd never see an over-under under 40 unless there was a rainstorm, and I'm going with 34.5. Miami, New England.
All right, I'm almost there.
Implied score 30, of
36.5.
36.5. All right, I'll take the under.
New England favored by 1.5. Might be the only time. There is one game in the league that has a lower over-under this week.
Is it Vegas-Denver?
Yes. Vegas-Denver.
Vegas at Denver. Arizona at San Francisco. Giants at Seattle.
Without Malik Nabers.
Yeah, unlikely he plays, which is too bad.
And maybe without Devin Singletary, and they don't have much behind him, so they're going to be depleted of offensive weapons, very much so.
Sunday night football this week is, do you know?
Cowboys Steelers.
Yes.
I don't know whether I like that game or not.
I'm eager to watch. By the way,
I don't like either team.
No, that's right.
That's the thing.
Pittsburgh. Do they run it well? Because are they going to run all over Dallas?
I mean, they don't run. Najee Harris is dead last in the NFL. I know in fantasy points over expected. So I would imagine that means like yards over expected. He's probably near the bottom. I think they stink running the ball.
Yeah, he's not.
And the other two running backs, Cordarrelle Patterson and Jaylen Warren, are hurt. So it's all Najee Harris.
I saw Warren is limited.
Might maybe bad.
Is Warren going to play? Maybe.
Maybe. He's been banged up like all year, though, when he's been playing.
I really might need him in a guillotine league. By the way, Jonathan Taylor is out for Indianapolis in this game, too,
they,
right?
They can run the ball, and that Justin Fields can run the ball.
That's right.
Taylor expected to miss some time.
That's bad news, too. I have a guillotine team that has Taylor and Neighbors, and if they both don't play and I get eliminated, I will be have the best team to ever be eliminated in guillotine early. It'd be unfair. Jaden Daniels on this team. This team is loaded.
The Steelers and the Cowboys actually are both terrible at running the football.
All right.
But we're not going to get an air show, right? Because they're not going to drop back Justin Fields 40 times.
And then Monday Night Football, get ready. You can go to bed early, everybody.
I'm not remembering what
you
the
can go
night
to bed
is.
Early. You already know what's going to happen. Monday Night Football.
Chiefs.
What's going to happen? Somewhere around 11 p.m., a flag will be thrown, and the Chiefs will, oh, look at that. They did it again. So you can go
winning,
to bed.
Winning 20-17.
20-17. Where's that game, Joe?
That game is
Saints-Chiefs.
Arrowhead Stadium.
Yup.
I have a hot take. Chiefs are the Steelers now.
Which means?
They're
frauds.
They don't win. Or, excuse me, they do win. They don't score points. They're constipated on offense. Their defense is really good. And they win in annoying ways.
Yeah.
They win when it feels like they shouldn't win. They're the Steelers. Right?
Yeah.
With a ring. But they're the Steelers. You watch them and go, that should not be winning right now. And they just win anyway. Flags maybe is the reason.
Don't forget Vikings-Jets, 9:30 a.m.
Vikings Jets at 9:30 a.m. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers said this morning he doesn't want to tamper with by talking about Devontae Adams. Connor Hughes reported that it's like inevitable that he's going to the Jets.
Okay.
That Adams wants to be a Jet. The Jets want Adams, and they've been talking with the Raiders for about a week.
All right.
Sounds like that is the definitive favorite, which we would have guessed, but now maybe even more so.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Special mystery guest when we return. It is Football Friday. You can give us a call. You can join us if you'd like. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way.